This is the home of accurate, factual sports information. Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We made it to hour number three of Sports Talk with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. And it's time to focus on Tennessee basketball, not only Tennessee, but SEC, NCAA, you name it. It's all right here in front of us. As for the next hour, we're excited to be joined by our good friend and former Tennessee assistant, Mark Pankratz. Mark's appearance brought to you by Gambuza Barbershop. You can visit at Gambuza Barbershop, gambuzasbarbershop.com, G-A-M-B-U-Z-Z-A-S, barbershop.com. Online booking is available. It's where tradition and trends blend. Recognized multiple times as the top barbershop in America, men belong at Gambuza's Barbershop. Mark, how are you?
I am doing great, guys. How are y'all doing?
Doing quite well, and always appreciate, one, the fact that you look at the world, instead of just it being a focus on you and your interest, it's trying to make the world a better place, day in, day out. Facebook friends of yours know it. Those that follow you on Twitter know it. So were you able to indeed make sure that Saturday did not ruin the rest of your day for how it went for the Vols at Auburn?
Well, it's interesting, man. You know, like you're kind of the stage we're in right now with the season. You play an 8 o'clock game and it's like, dang it, you lose. And some people can't even go to sleep. It's hard for them to get up for church the next morning. And then the flip side of it, you play the early game. And for some people, like, ruins their whole day. And so, that's the beauty of this fan base, is you love Tennessee athletics so much that it does affect you. No, it did not ruin my day. My wife and I were able to spend our first weekend with no kids basketball and have a little date night, and it was awesome. It was awesome to enjoy the time with the family.
Well, glad that went well and that you guys had a good time. Obviously, Tennessee has not had a good time, mostly on the weekends over this 12-game stretch where they've gone 6-6. And as they were underwhelming in their victory, a 12-point win in Nashville at Vanderbilt against a shorthanded team, they got that job done. But against another shorthanded team, one that had lost 6-7, once again, Bruce Pearl just proves that he's got Tennessee's number, and their team fought for it, played harder, and just went out and took that game. What did you think in terms of how Saturday indeed played out?
Well, you know, for one, I mean, if you look at the Saturday games, if I remember correctly, since Kansas, you know, it's been Kentucky, LSU, Kentucky, and Auburn is a team that Tennessee just struggled with. So we've played the better opponents on Saturday. But, you know, like to what you mentioned, John, is we've not even played well in some of our wins. And so and it's the way that we've lost some of these games that, you know, what we've fallen in love with this Tennessee basketball program about has been their effort, their connectivity on offense and defense, that culture that Barnes has instilled in the program. And when you're watching them play, it's like they're missing that. One, it doesn't look like they're having as much fun. Two, it doesn't look like they're connected as well. And then three, the maybe the most disappointing fact of it is, and nothing was more apparent than the way number 44 for Auburn was the other night on Saturday, was just that effort, that bulldog mentality, that team that you're so excited about being a fan about because of the way that they play. They're just missing that edge about them right now. And against your better, more physical teams, it's been exposed, and that's been the most frustrating part about it, is that the team that we've all fallen in love with, the program that we've all fallen in love with, they're just missing that piece about them that has led to that frustration.
Mark, you mentioned that it looks like Tennessee is not connected. Why? Why do you think they're not connected?
Well, I think when your leaders are struggling in John Fulkerson the way that they are, that's where it starts for me. We've talked about the lack of point guard play. And then the other thing is when you've kind of, which I think was the right move, when you've kind of to turn the reins in some way over to who the offense is playing through with Jaden and Keon, there can be some friction between newcomers and veterans, and how do you manage that as a coach? And that's one of the biggest challenges of any coach, is how do you manage the personalities in the locker room? And so some of the connectivity can be that, unlike Barnes teams of the past, he has done a incredible job in years past of defining roles and guys buying into their roles. And right now, because there's so much inconsistency amongst individual play, it feels as though there's some uncertainty around, okay, what is my role? How do I fit in? Where does it play? And that's showing with the way that we're holding the ball on offense. We're not cutting as hard. We're not moving. We're not as aggressive on offense. And then defense, in our help defense, our closing on our late on rotations, our softer closeouts. And so I think it starts with the leadership, and then it starts to whatever that disconnect is between players and then between some of the players and the coaches.
Do you think that Bruce Pearl is the best one-game coach in the SEC? If you had to win one, is Pearl your guy, or is there somebody else you like?
That's a good question. You know, it's hard to pick against Bruce. You know, so much of it is, you know, I think Bruce is a great coach when he has the lesser talented team. And so I think if it was one game where the stack was decked against BP, I would actually pick him more in favor than if you were like supposed to win the game. Vice versa, I think if Calipari had a team that was supposed to win the game, I think he has proven track record of being able to coach those guys up despite how talented they are. And so I think there's a little bit of a difference. But Bruce is great at in-game adjustments and making tweaks within the week to prepare for an opponent. There's other coaches that's just not their MO. Their MO is built on this is what we do and this is how we do it. And if you beat us tonight, tip of the cap, and we're going to go the other direction. But if I'm picking a coach to have to win one game, I'm going to pick a coach that can make some in-game adjustments while still having that philosophy. But I think Calipari would be better with the expectation of winning. But I would look at picking Bruce as a team that is undermanned with not the expectation of winning to be able to come out on top.
Our guest, Mark Pankratz. If you have a question or comment for Mark, 656-9900, 656-9900. Let's check in with John. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot. Mark, love your analysis of the basketball games. I've got a quick question for you. I want to go back to the end of the first half of the Auburn game. We're taking the ball out of bounds at the far end of the court. There are 4.8 seconds left on the clock. We throw the ball into Pons. Pons crosses half court and calls timeout with 0.4 seconds. Can you analyze that and tell us exactly what happened there and what went wrong and how we could do a better job with that in the future, Mark?
Well, there had to be some miscommunication between what Barnes wanted, because it makes no sense to pick the ball up, call timeout with 0.4 seconds left. And so I think they either ran the out-of-bounds incorrectly, didn't make the advance pass to get it up there with more like 1.5 or 2 seconds left. So there had to be some miscommunication. I don't mind the timeout if you've got a set that you want to run or make some substitutions, but there had to be something to where there was some miscommunication and to be able to only have 0.4 seconds left. And look, you know, I know some people look at it as putting the fault there on Barnes, but coaches in general, it is interesting how very few coaches around the country spend a lot of time on short clock game situations. And I think that's exposed a lot of times where you see how coaches, and it's just not basketball, you see it in football as well, where teams just don't manage the clock effectively. But I do think there had to be a miscommunication about what Barnes wanted and what was actually happened.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate that. That's just, I think, one of the examples of where the fans are frustrated when you have a senior receiving a ball there, you know, not a guard and not getting it across, you know, in time to call a timely call out and actually run a play. So thanks for those insights. Very helpful. Thank you.
But, and real quick, John and Jimmy, if I may, you know, I go back to we're playing Oklahoma State in the NCAA tournament in Daytona, and Oklahoma State has the ball. They call timeout. Bruce Pearl turns to me and says, "Hey, Mark, what do you think they're going to run?" And I had watched more than enough tape to have an idea. And in the timeout, I said exactly, "Hey, Josh Tabb, who was our best on-ball defender at the time, Tyler Smith, who was our versatile four-man, we pre-switched it, so we started Tyler Smith out on the guard and Josh Tabb out on the four, who we anticipated the ball screen coming. And we said, hey, when they set this ball screen, you guys are going to switch. In the timeout, hey, you guys are going to switch." And we come out of the timeout, game's on the line. For whatever reason, they don't switch it. And so sometimes, you know, it's the Jimmys and the Joes got to be able to make the play and to comprehend what the coaching staff says. Now, you could flip that and say, well, that's on the coach because they didn't have the ability to practice that or whatever. But, you know, sometimes coaches are communicating what is expected and guys just for whatever reason don't respond. And I do think that one is was on something was lost in communication there, because that could not have been what Barnes and the coaching staff wanted from Pons and the other players on the floor.
With Jimmy Hyams, I'm John Wilkerson. That's Mark Pankratz as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Gambusa's Barbershop. Two locations to serve you. World-class care in the heart of Knoxville off North Shore Drive as well as downtown West. Online booking available. Visit GambusasBarbershop.com. Again, that's GambuzzaS Barbershop.com. More with Mark coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Today, from the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
I worry what you just heard was, give me a lot of bacon and eggs. Give me all the bacon and eggs you have.
We are 99.1, The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues with Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. Our guest, Mark Pankratz, as he joins us this hour to talk Tennessee, SEC, and college hoops. If you have a question or comment for Mark, 656-9900, 656-9900. Mark's appearance brought to you by Gambusa's Barbershop. You can find them two locations in the heart of Knoxville off North Shore Drive and downtown West. Let's say hello to Roger, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Roger.
Well, hey, John, Jimmy. How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Hey, Mark, man. Hey, it's been a while since I talked to you. How you doing, Mark? How you doing?
I'm great. Great to hear from you, Roger.
You too. I just want to tell you, John, Jimmy. I got to meet Mark a long time ago. A while back, I was out downtown. I was out eating some food, and I got to meet him. So I just want to tell you, I got to meet Mark, John, Jimmy.
Oh, very nice.
One time.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting.
So, it's great to meet you, nice guy, Mark. I just wanted to talk to you about the team for a minute, a few minutes. I just want to ask you first is about the team. I know they've been playing good lately. They've been playing. They won in Nashville past Wednesday, but they lost to Auburn. I just want to ask you what do you do to get if you were born? What do you do to get the team playing better? I know they've been playing off and on. Like I said, I just want to ask you what do you do now? I know he plays Sunday, but what if you him? What do you do? Get the team playing better? You think, Mark, playing better?
Well, I think for me, I simplify the game. You know, it's instill guys in confidence with focusing on effort. You know, John Fulkerson, go get rebounds, guys. Defend your guys in one-on-one, and in practice, just getting a lot of shots up. And you know, you're not going to be banging on guys this time of year in five-on-five and live practices, but getting them a lot of in-game practice type shots to where you're just feeding that confidence. And then, you know, I'm sure these coaches have done that, but showing John Fulkerson, showing Pons the things that they've done well, creating a clip tape to just instill some confidence, because right now this team is lacking that. In preparation for Florida, you know, yes, they got somewhat manhandled there and given up 42 points in the paint and not defending the ball, but showing things that were done successfully against Florida or what other teams have done against Florida to be successful that align with how Tennessee likes to play offensively or defensively. And so to me, it just borderline, simplifying the game, instilling some confidence, yeah, and trying to re-energize them through having some fun playing the game. And the talent is there, in my opinion. There's just some of those smaller things that become big things when they're so focused on the negative right now.
Oh yeah, you're right with that. You're right. And I think they can still do it. I just want to ask you too, Mark. I know the awful is weak and that place. Sunday, you think it helps the team? I don't know if some people hurt. You think it helps the offense? You think it helps the team at all by them been off a week? You think maybe it helps them maybe a little bit been off.
I like the fact that that they're off while Florida plays Missouri tomorrow night. Little less preparation for Florida. Missouri's a tough basketball team that's coming out playing for major NCAA seeding. And so I like that more so than Tennessee, you know, having an off day. But I think it allows them to focus in on this one game and get some of their mind and their body right for Sunday's matchup.
I got you. I got you. And also, Walker, also a question I have for you is do you feel confident Tennessee can make a run and rest of the season at the end of the season, you think maybe?
Yeah.
You feel confident in that?
Well,
in that?
It's hard to have a ton of confidence that they can make a run just because of our seniors playing the way that they're playing and not having a point guard. Now, I think that I do believe that they'll win a game or two in the NCAA tournament. I do think that they'll kind of rally it together and make a little bit of run. But as far as your definition of run, if will they make it to the SEC tournament championship or they get beyond a Sweet 16? No, but I also think that's what a lot of fans are expecting. And so I think if at this point, if we were to be able to beat Florida, win two games in the SEC tournament and make a run to the Sweet 16, based off of how we're playing right now, I think that would be a success. Now, the grand scheme of things, would a lot of people determine that as a disappointing year? Yes. But I think where we're at right now, a realistic, exciting end to the year would be if we could make it to the Sweet 16.
Roger, we sure do appreciate it. 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Hey, Mark, Arkansas has won 9 in a row. What's been the key?
Well, when you're playing with the speed and that they play with, the tempo that they're playing at, and they're knocking the shots down. I haven't seen what their turnover assist to turnover ratio has been the last nine games, but they're playing with that swagger about them, and they're either scoring at the rim, which is making defenses collapse, kind of with what you saw their game against Tennessee. And if they're not collapsing, they're finishing at the rim, and if they are, they're getting to other shooters on the outside. And I think Musselman has done a great job to – I don't think they have great defenders, but he's instilled confidence in them to become a pretty good defensive team to at least keep people in check enough to let their scoring ability win basketball games for them.
We've got more with Mark coming up. To join the conversation, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. More with Mark coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio WNML to keep up with breaking sports news. Now, back to Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
is how you join us. 656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Mark Pankratz, the former Tennessee assistant, our guest this hour. His appearance brought to you by Gambooza's Barbershop. You can book online. You can check availabilities online and book your appointment by going to GambuzasBarbershop.com, GambuzasBarbershop.com. And again, 656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Mark. And as we take a look at the NCAA, Mark, it was no surprise to see the long layoff for Baylor basketball impact the Bears. They were able to rally and overcome a deficit against Iowa State, but then lost at Kansas to suffer their first setback of the season. And what do you think of Baylor in terms of where they stand, just trying to shake off the rust, getting ready for conference tournament play, of which the Big 12 has loaded up its last week before conference tournament play with a number of makeup games?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to predict when you got teams that are coming back from that and how each individual responds. And, you know, the people have talked about how that the virus has affected them differently. And so there's some uncertainty, you know, when you look at how they've played the last couple games, you know, you kind of question whether or not they can get back to that. Look, they're super talented, but that's the when you look at these locker rooms and you're playing with, you know, you're coaching 18 to 21 year old kids, you know, that momentum, that confidence, that locker room and those personalities can be fragile at times. And so there is some unknown, but you know, I think they're going to be there at the end and have a chance to look. Final fours are hard, man. It's hard to say teams are going to be in the final four, but they're a team obviously that has a great chance to be standing in that last weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Michigan seems to keep on trucking, even though they too have had to play through a pause button or so.
Yeah, I mean, I watched them play the other day and against Iowa, and just gosh, they've got some good guard play, some veteran guard play, and some fifth year transfers. They can shoot the basketball, but you know, the interesting part about the teams, and that's where I think Tennessee's struggling, is you watch and Jimmy, you mentioned Arkansas, these teams that play downhill, that are attacking the rim first, that are catching the ball and driving it with aggression, they put the defense at a disadvantage. It's why Jaden Springer has been so successful, because he's driving that thing, drawing fouls. And you watch a team like Michigan, you watch a team like Baylor, Arkansas, they do that. Tennessee right now, because maybe it's because of some lack of identity, maybe because they're trying to figure out Fulkerson, lack of confidence. We hold the ball a lot. We play side to side a lot. And teams like Michigan, teams like Baylor, they do a great job of playing downhill and attacking. And at the end of the day, it's still about making jump shots. And it seems like Iowa, when you're surrounding yourself with the talent that they have, you got a chance to win a lot of basketball games.
Mark, the NCAA selection committee has indicated in recent years that it does not take into account what you did the last 10 games. Do you think, with COVID out there and all the impact, do you think they should take a closer look at what you've done in the last 10 games and trying to decide who the deserving teams are in the tournament?
As a Tennessee fan, heck no, because we'd be in trouble. but I mean, it's definitely worth the conversation. I mean, because when you look at all the things that teams have had to deal with, how rosters can be affected. I mean, you look at even North Carolina, whether you consider it a good apple or a bad apple, you know, one of the guys opting out, I think it was Johnson that opted out and just prepared for the draft, that can affect the team. And so, I do think that can this year's conversation would carry more weight for me, but I hope they don't go down that route for Tennessee's sake. Because if you turn around and lose to Florida on Sunday and an early exit in the SEC tournament, that'd be a scary selection Sunday for the Tennessee program if that was a major player in their decision-making process.
I'm going to preface this next question by saying I believe that 1 year after Florida won a national championship and won 20 games, they didn't get in the NCAA tournament because of a weak strength of schedule. And I think the year after Kentucky won a national championship, they didn't get in either, and they got sent to play Robert Morris in the NIT. Having said that, do you think if Duke and Michigan State are close, they get the benefit of the doubt from the selection committee and they get put in the field?
I think they're playing. Does the NCAA tournament want them in? Yes. You talk about big dollar signs that are had when those blue bloods are in the tournament. Do I think that they should be at this point? No. Based off of how the NCAA is selected, they should make it at this point. The nice part about being in those big conferences is you've got games against other highly ranked opponents that can increase your net ranking and your strength of schedule and all those other things. And so it's not said that they won't make it. But at this point, outside of dollar signs being on the table, I don't think that they should be in the tournament.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment of this hour of Sports Talk as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Over 20 years of the top-rated afternoon sports show in Tennessee. This is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to hour number three of Sports Talk, a final segment with our friend Mark Pankratz. If you have a question or comment for Mark, and to get that in under the wire, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Mark's appearance brought to you by Gambusa's Barbershop. You can check him out online as well as book your appointment online by going to GambusasBarbershop.com, a world-class barbershop, two locations to serve you in Knoxville off North Shore Drive, as well as right there in downtown West. Quick look at the schedule tonight. You've got Arkansas at South Carolina, Auburn at Alabama, Vanderbilt at LSU, and Kentucky at Ole Miss. What do you think of those matchups, Mark?
Well, I think we're in crunch time, and I think the Kentucky Ole Miss one is intriguing. I think Ole Miss is still playing for tournament lives. I think Kentucky is, you know, they're not going to be in the NCAA tournament, but it's still a big matchup. Intrigued to see how LSU plays down the stretch. You know, obviously, Auburn being out of postseason play and being involved there. You know, there's intriguing matchups, but at the end of the day, you know, from a Tennessee fan's perspective, you know, Sunday can't get here soon enough for me. I don't even know if I want to watch another one, but for me, I just can't wait to see if and how the players react. And trying to stay out of those, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 type seedings where your first matchup is a really, really tough game. So I'm looking forward to the Sunday's matchup.
I was really surprised and impressed by Vanderbilt getting the win as it did against Ole Miss over the weekend, simply for the fact that the Rebels were in a good position to knock Tennessee down to a 6 seed. I know Tennessee's trying and needs help to get to a 4 seed, but Ole Miss had the wherewithal to finish one win ahead of Tennessee because it's playing Vanderbilt twice in its final 3 games. But even without their top 2 players, Commodores have played hard for Jerry Stackhouse, and they got, I thought, an impressive win over an Ole Miss team that was .500 going into that game.
I don't know how you can play hard for a guy that dresses like that. Stackhouse is a good coach. I think, you know, they've got some good pieces there. I too was surprised by their ability to beat Vanderbilt. But, you know, at the end of the day, this ball club and this end of the season, there's a lot riding on this because expectations were really high for this program, and they should have been and they should be. And I still think there's a lot of opportunity. You know, you want to get in the dance. You want to be playing your best ball at the right time. And, you know, Tennessee has the pieces to be able to do that. I do think they've got the coach to be able to turn it around. And, you know, I'm hopeful that we've learned from that Florida game, and we defend the ball better. We defend the paint better. And we just take care of the basketball more. And that's – if Tennessee can just control what they can control through their effort and taking care of the basketball, I think we'll have the ability to win a few more basketball games here down the stretch.
Mark, what do you think about Vanderbilt adding Cincinnati to its schedule this week, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday games? And do you think it would be wise if Tennessee were playing a midweek game?
I don't know why Vanderbilt, I guess it gets them some extra games in there. They're not necessarily playing for any tournament. I don't think, and at this point, you know, Tennessee, the way that they're playing, you'd almost be nervous if they played another opponent, that it could be a loss on their record that would affect their NCAA tournament hopefuls. So I don't think Tennessee should play any more games. I think they got to take care of business on Saturday and gear up for the SEC tournament and be ready to go on a run. But, you know, I think it's – if teams are adding some games to the schedule, kind of like you mentioned the Big 12 is, more power to them. I don't think that'd be the right play for Tennessee with the stage – with where they're at in their season.
Let's go to Reed, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Reed.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Doing just fine. Hey, I've got a couple questions for you all, for Mark and you and Jimmy and John. As I understand it, are the seniors still eligible for another year of play?
Yes.
Yep.
They are. Okay. Given the way the team has performed this year, do you think there's any possibility of Fulkerson or Pons coming back next year?
My quick answer is yes for Fulkerson, no for Pons as a possibility. Mark, what do you think?
I would agree with both those. I think they've already announced that EJ is definitely coming back, Anasicki, who's a senior. But I do think Fulkerson would come back or could come back. You know, that sort of side of it is, you know, loving on these guys a little bit. They're struggling a little bit. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But as a fan base, you know, if people turn too much on them, it's say, do you even want to come back? But I do think Pons will leave, whether he go play overseas or not. And then I do think Fulkerson could stay.
All right. Thanks, guys. Hope you all have a good evening.
You too, Reed. Thank you very much. 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers.
Mark, what is the bigger surprise to you, that Kentucky is 8-14 in SEC play, or that Alabama won the SEC?
I think Kentucky being 8-14. I mean, anytime Kentucky has such a losing record, it's a surprise. I think Alabama was slated to finish in the top half, and so you know, that's not as big of a surprise. But for a Kentucky team that recruits as well as they do, with as much money and resources they spend on basketball, for them to be 8-14 is a bigger surprise for me.
Kansas turned it around. This was a team that was struggling, and Tennessee blew them out here. And now they're Kansas is ranked, and they're going great guns right now. Can Tennessee turn it around, or was the makeup of that Kansas team better suited to turn it around than is Tennessee?
Tennessee's absolutely able to turn it around. There's no doubt in my mind that they can turn around. My hesitancy the comparison of Tennessee turning around versus a Kansas turnaround is I don't know if we have the point guard or the quote-unquote dog or leader on this team to rally the troops to turn it around. And I don't know if Kansas has that guy. I'm not in that line. I don't spend as much time watching Kansas. But that would be the biggest difference. And that's my question to Mark. Can Tennessee turn around? Yes. But I don't know if their personnel has that alpha dog that is going to grab these guys by the collar and say, "Hey man, it's time to put up or shut up out on the floor." And if you don't have that guy when things aren't going well, it's just a lot harder for coaches to consistently rally the troops to do that. And so that would be my concern of Tennessee being able to turn things around.
Mark, Joe Lunardi has had six from the SEC in his bracketology essentially the entire season. Do you think that the conference will hit that number when all is said and done?
I do. I do think that they'll get to that. I think the league is thought of high enough to get to the six. You know, I think you got a couple there that could be borderline, but I do think that they'll get to the six, especially when you got some of those blue bloods that have been struggling that typically take up a couple spots in the NCAA tournament. So I think I think the SEC will get to the six number.
And as we do get ready for the SEC tournament next week in Nashville, the parameters were kind of set by the conference today. Fans are going to be allowed at about a 20% capacity. And I know we've gotten used to it throughout the course of the season, but how weird do you think it might look that on that Nashville floor in the in Bridgestone Arena, there's only going to be about 3,400 fans total, and there aren't going to be public sales. There are going to be schools that can sell to their specific fans, but there won't be public sales. That's also going to take a lot of getting used to, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of puts a hindrance on that atmosphere. You know, it's always fun when you're running out there, and if the underdog is beating the favorite, you know, kind of all the other schools start cheering for the underdog. You know, you see those SEC cups and the fans and just all that hoopla around it. But look, I mean, they've been used to it for 2021. And yeah. I just hope and pray, man, they don't play that background noise that some of these teams play on the TV setting. I don't know if y'all have caught that, but some of these TV games, they play this background noise that just drives you crazy when you're watching the game. But I'm looking forward to the SEC tournament. It'll be obviously different, but I think the way that the SEC is set up, the competitiveness of it, the uncertainty around it, and so many teams playing for NCAA tournament chances is a big deal.
Mark, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. so glad you got to enjoy that first weekend without having the basketball responsibilities that you had, and that you and Brooke were able to enjoy a nice night out. But we appreciate it. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you. You as well. Mark Pankratz joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. And so his appearance brought to you by our good friends at Gambusa's Barbershop. Men belong at Gambusa's Barbershop. Recognized multiple times as the top barbershop in America. It's where tradition and trends blend. Online booking available. See for yourself by visiting GambusasBarbershop.com. That's GambuzzaS Barbershop.com. Two locations to serve you, in the heart of Knoxville off North Shore Drive and downtown West. Coming up, hour number four of Sports Talk. We look forward to bringing you comments from Rick Barnes, comments from Kelly Harper, and up next, it's your chance to win with a Sports Picks at 6 as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.